Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Back in the early 80s, as Nancy Reagan became involved in America's war on drugs, she championed many efforts to address drug usage and abuse among young people. In 1982, while visiting an elementary school out in Oakland, California, the First Lady was asked by one of the young elementary girls what to do if she was offered some drugs. And Mrs. Reagan responded, "Just say no." And so was born the phrase that became the slogan for an entire ad campaign aimed at reducing the number of drug users and abusers in America. It was a great slogan, simple, catchy, short, but was it effective? Well, that's kind of difficult to gauge. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services revealed that in 1999, the number of Americans who were using illicit drugs was down by some 10 million people from what it had been just 20 years earlier. But was that due to this catchy slogan and ad campaign? Probably not. That's not to say that this slogan and campaign were not helpful. They probably were. But the problem with the just say no advice is that it neither offers nor supplies one with the power nor the courage to do what it calls one to do. In real-world terms, it's a great slogan, but it's kind of terrible advice. So what if you're being harassed and bullied and threatened, etc.? Just say no. That's like telling a clinically depressed person, just be happy. Or a physically exhausted athlete, just don't quit. Or an out-of-work dad in an economically depressed environment, just get a job. Telling somebody to just do something that they have neither the strength nor the courage nor the knowledge of how to do does not empower them to actually do the very thing that you're telling them to do. I guess it'd be a little bit like God coming to us and telling each of us, just don't sin. I mean, that's a great thought. But God telling me to not sin doesn't help me not to sin. Nor does such advice coming from my wife. Just calm down. Or for my children, just be patient. Or for my friends, just don't worry. Help me to actually do any of those things. Just don't get angry or be jealous. You know, those are great sentiments, but those quips don't supply us with even 1 ounce of strength to stop those sinful behaviors. And besides, what makes any of us think that we are going to be able to conquer those sinful behaviors and actions in our lives when Adam and Eve couldn't abstain from the one sinful act that they were to avoid? And they were holy, sinless, perfect people. Just don't eat from that one tree over there, was God's admonition to them. and they still could not obey him. Think about it. If they, as sinless, holy, in the image of God people, could not steer clear from the one thing that God warned them about, how in the world are we, as lost and condemned sinners, supposed to shun the myriad of things that God has warned us about? Answer, we can't. And we're lying to ourselves if we think that we can just stop being angry, or just stop being jealous or dishonest or what have you. Stopping those behaviors is something that we have neither the strength, nor the courage, nor the knowledge to do. And thus, our need for a Savior. No sooner had Adam and Eve fallen into sin than God announced his plan to save them, to save all of us from this spiritual cancer of sin that they had unleashed on the world. God said to Satan, who had disguised himself as a serpent, he said, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. And thus, veiled in those words were the promise of Jesus, who was the offspring of the woman, Mary, who came to crush the curse of sin and the work of Satan. John wrote in his first epistle, chapter 3, verse 8, he said, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. And that is exactly what Jesus did through his suffering and death on the cross and by his resurrection from the grave. Though mortally wounded in the process, thus the striking at the heel phrase from God, Jesus crushed the head of Satan and sin and death by dying for the debt of our sin, and yet by rising victorious over death and the grave. As such, Isaiah wrote, in anticipation of Jesus' great sacrifice and Jesus' great victory, he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. You know, I can preach to folks, just don't sin, till I'm blue in the face. And God's word can say to us, just don't sin, from cover to cover. But none of that is going to stop us from sinning. Only Jesus can do that. Only his Spirit can give us the power to say no to sin, as Jesus did when he was tempted by the devil in the desert. But even with his Spirit's power, know this. We are still going to fail. We're still going to fall. And we're still going to sin. There will still be times, probably more often than we would like to admit, when we're going to give in to the devil's deceptions and we're going to sin. In those times of failure, we need to remember Paul's words that are in the assigned epistle for today from Romans chapter 5, where Paul wrote, "For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. And thus through Jesus, you and I are most blessed. For in the words of Psalm 32, our psalm for today, the Lord has forgiven the guilt of our sin and has not counted our sins against us. To God be the glory for the gift of his Son. Amen."